Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he says, to recite salat upon me is nur on the bridge of Sirat. The one reciting salat upon me 80 times on Friday, his 80 years sins will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear Sahib brothers, the friends of Allah, the awliya-i-kiram, rahimahumullah, they are those chosen servants who have been given a very high status by acting upon the commandments of Allah Ta'ala throughout their entire life. And as a reward of their good deeds, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with great powers and authorities. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we will learn about the powers that Allah Ta'ala has given to His chosen servants. Allah Ta'ala, the powers that He has given to the awliya-i-kiram. What powers, what authorities, what miracles that they received. First of all, let's listen to one, a very famous friend of Allah, a miracle of his, and his name is Sayyidina Baba Fariduddin Ganji Shakar Rahmatullahi. Once what happened was a woman, she came into the court of Baba Fariduddin Ganji Shakar Rahmatullahi Alayhi and she humbly said, Your Highness, I have three young daughters who I need to get married. Please help me. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said to his servants, whatever is available, give it to this woman. The servants humbly said, Your Highness, nothing is left over for today. Listening to this, the woman, she started crying. And she said that I am helpless and I came to you with a lot of hope. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, go and bring a clod of clay from outside. A bit of sand. Or some dust from outside. She brought a clod of clay from outside. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, loudly recited Suratul Ikhlas. And then he did dam on that bit of clay. He blew on that bit of clay. And immediately, the clay turned into gold. Seeing this, everyone there, they were stunned. And the woman, she brought that piece of gold to her home. And when she came home, she probably thought to herself that, I know Surah Ikhlas as well. I got some clay here. I'm going to do this at home as well. I want more gold. So she made herself pure, she recited Surah Ikhlas, and she blew onto this bit of clay. And surprise, surprise, it didn't turn into gold. She kept on doing this for 3 days, but without any luck. Helpless, she went back into the court of Baba Fariduddin Ganji Shakar Rahmatullahi Alayhi and said, Your Highness, I too recited Surah Ikhlas, but the soil did not turn into gold. He, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, said, you performed the very same action that I performed, but you do not have the same tongue as I do. Subhanallah. So my dear Sahib brothers, from this narration we learn that when someone is in need, when someone is in some sort of problem, the chosen people of Allah Ta'ala, they have the ability to help them. They have the ability to remove their problems, as we have heard. And I will explain a bit later on how do they have this ability. How have they gained this ability, inshallah. We also learn from this that the tongue of the pious people of Allah Ta'ala, they are not the same as ours. If you think about it like this, the dua of the pious people of the past are accepted, isn't it? This is why we go to the Imam Sahib. Imam Sahib, dua karein please. Imam Sahib, do dua for me. I got a test coming up. I got my exams. Imam Sahib, do dua for me. I got my driving test. We say to them, why? Because we know these people are pious. Our tongues, they are filled with sins. Our tongues are filled with lying, backbiting, hurting people's feelings, swearing. But the tongues of these people, the awliya-i-kiram, they are pure. They are trying their best to stay away from disobeying Allah Ta'ala. So, this is what we learned, that we should try to go to the pious people of Allah Ta'ala when we meet them. And we should ask them for dua. Sometimes it happens we meet a very famous personality, a very famous religious personality, and the first thing we will do is try to get a selfie with them. Isn't it? We think, if I got the selfie, I'm done. I've done what I wanted to do here. But this is not the aim, my dear Sangh brothers. Whenever you meet a pious person, try to get a dua from them. Say, Hazur, please do dua for my forgiveness. Imagine, a pious person of Allah Ta'ala, he does dua for your forgiveness. Maybe this one dua could lead to your forgiveness. So try your best next time you meet a famous person, a famous pious person. Say to them, please do dua for my forgiveness. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But dear Sangh brothers, we need to remember one very important point before we move further. Very important. I want to listen very carefully about this. We need to keep this in our mind at all times. This one piece of advice. No matter how great a wali is, no matter how much of a status he has, no matter how high his rank is, none of them can give anything to anyone without the permission of Allah Ta'ala. This is very important that every single one of us needs to remember. None of them can help anyone without the power given to them by Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala is the helper. Allah Ta'ala is the healer of all the healers. Allah Ta'ala, He gives death to whoever He wants and He gives life to whoever He wants. Isn't it? Agree? Everyone agrees to this. If Allah Ta'ala wills, if Allah Ta'ala wants to, if He wishes, He can give this power to His chosen servants as well. He can give this power to whoever He wants. He can do whatever He wants. He can give the power of healing to others so that He can help others. He can give the power of helping so that people can help other people. He can even give power to someone so that they can revive someone from the dead. This is possible. And I'll explain to you why. Once what happened was, there's another famous wali of Allah, his name was Sayyidina Ahmad Jam Zinda Peel, rahmatullahi alayh. And he was going somewhere and he saw a massive crowd of people. And he asked them what was going on. And they said that an elephant has died here. So, he rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, its trunk is fine, the eyes are fine, the hands are fine, and so are its feet. So all of the limbs are fine, how is it dead? As soon as he rahmatullahi alayhi said these words, the elephant came back to life. The words came out the tongue of the waliullah, and the elephant came back to life. And after this, he was famously known as Zinda Peel. The title of Zinda Peel meaning, the one who revives or resurrects the elephant. So this is just one of the miracles of a famous person, a pious person, about how he revived the elephant from the dead. And I'll explain to you further. So my dear Sangh brothers, we learn from this that life and death is under the authority of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, He has complete authority over life and death, isn't it? However, it is not difficult for Allah to give this authority to any one of His chosen servants, as we have just heard. And if you have this belief, listen very carefully, my dear Sangh brothers, and all of the viewers of Madani channel, listen very carefully. If you have this belief that someone can resurrect the dead by the power given by Allah Ta'ala, if you have this belief, then there is no negative effect on your iman. There is no negative effect. You understand this? It's very important. Because if someone believes that Allah Ta'ala has not given the authority of curing the ill or resurrecting the dead to any one of his Nabi or Wali, then having such a belief is completely contradicting the Quran. This belief of not believing this is completely contradicting the Quran. So if you believe in this, that someone can resurrect the dead by the permission given by Allah Ta'ala, it's all good. Your belief is correct. But if you don't believe in this, then your belief is against the teachings of the Quran. Let me explain to you why. Allah Ta'ala, He mentions in the Holy Quran, one saying of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Very famous prophet, isn't he? His saying is mentioned in the Holy Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. He says, I mold for you from clay a bird-like figure, and I blow into it, and immediately becomes a living bird by the permission of Allah. Who is saying this? A Nabi of Allah. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is saying this, and where is this mentioned? Not in any book, in the glorious Quran. He continues, and I heal him who was born blind and a leper, and I give life to the dead by the permission of Allah. Subhanallah. So my dear Sangh brothers, we have heard that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he is clearly announcing that I make a bird out of clay and blow soul into it with the bestowal of Allah. I give eyes to the innate blind, those who were born blind. I give eyes to the innate blind and cure the lepers to the extent that I even resurrect the dead. So this belief, my dear Sangh brothers, this satanic whisper should be out of everyone's mind now. If anyone ever has this belief, how is it possible that someone can help someone else? How is it possible that someone, a person, can resurrect the dead? How is it possible that someone, a person, he can heal another person? Well, the Holy Quran is giving us the proof, my dear Sangh brothers. We are getting the proof from the Holy Quran, and we follow the Quran, and we follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow the Sunnah, alhamdulillah. So the teaching of the Quran is telling this. The ability of healing, the ability of resurrecting the dead, these authorities can be given to the chosen servants, as we have just heard. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now before we go any further, before we continue listening to the powers given to the awliya-i kiram, well, let's listen to the definition of a wali. I've said waliullah, awliya, wali, what does this actually mean? There's a lot of children here, alhamdulillah. And there could be people on Madani channel who heard this word for the first time. What does wali mean? Alhamdulillah, this is what your Dawat Islami is all about. Dawat Islami is gatherings are for the people who have a lot of knowledge. Dawat Islami gatherings are for those people who have zero knowledge and everyone in between, alhamdulillah. Wali means friend. Waliullah means friend of Allah. Okay? So these pious people that I'm mentioning, they are waliullah. They are friends of Allah. And awliya, this is the plural of wali. So when you say friends of Allah, they are the awliya. So this is just for make it clear. And it's even mentioned in tafsir Siratul Jinan. Very famous tafsir of Quran. Very beautiful, easy to understand tafsir of Quran. If you can read the Urdu language, I urge you to go to your nearest Maktabatul Madina store and purchase this. It's a 10 volume set. Even just purchase the first volume. From Maktabatul Madina, your local store of Dawat Islami, inshallah azza wa jal. If you are not enjoying it, then come back to me. You will continue, you start reading and you will continue reading and you will not want to put it down. It's mentioned in such easy Urdu. So I encourage all who can read Urdu to purchase the book. Anyway, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it's mentioned that Waliullah is the one who attains the closeness to Allah Almighty through performing faraid, to performing his obligatory actions. He remains busy in the obedience of Allah Almighty. Whenever he sees the proofs of the divine power of Allah Almighty. Whenever he listens, he only listens to the ayahs of Allah Almighty. Whenever he speaks, he does so only with the praise of Allah Almighty. Whenever he makes a movement, he does so in the obedience of Allah Almighty. And whenever he makes an effort for anything, he does so only to attain the closeness of Allah Almighty. He does not get tired of the zikr of Allah Almighty and does not look at anyone else except Allah from the eyes of his heart. This is the trait of the awliya, rahimahumullah. And when a person reaches this stage, then Allah Ta'ala is his helper. Subhanallah. Such beautiful information we get from Tafsir Siratul Jinan. Definitely get this if you can read Urdu. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, we are learning about the powers of the awliya and their miracles. What is a miracle? What does miracle actually mean? What different types of miracles are there? What is a karamat? You know, I've heard this word karamat. Karamat ho gaya ji. What does this mean? Inshallah, we will learn. A miracle, my dear Sangh brothers, is an action that is against the norm. That is against the normal occurrence. That does not usually happen. Something which is not generally performed by every human being. For example, flying in the air. Normally, humans don't fly in the air. So if this happens, this is against the norm, isn't it? So this is a miracle. Or, for example, walking on water. Normally, people don't walk on water. But if this does happen, then this is called a miracle. Something which is against the norm. This is what a miracle is. This is the definition of miracle. So what is a karamat? You might have heard the word karamat. What is karamat? Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we will learn. Mufti Amjad Ali Azami Rahmatullahi Alayh. He mentions in Bahar al-Sharia that any such action performed by a wali that is against the norms, it is called a karamat. If a wali of Allah, what does wali mean? I told you all, a friend of Allah. If a friend of Allah performs a miracle, this is called a karamat. Okay? I want everyone to understand and keep with me. So we know what a miracle is, if that is against the norm, an action that is against the norm, and if a wali performs this, it's called a karamat. But what if a prophet performs a miracle? You might have heard this word, mu'ajiza. The mu'jiza of Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was what? That he split the moon in half. This is not a normal occurrence, it's against the norm. So a miracle performed by a prophet after announcing prophethood, this is called a mu'jiza. So we stick to these two, there's quite a few others, but these two we try to stick to because we hear these most of the time. Karamat is a miracle performed by a wali of Allah. And a miracle that is performed after the announcement of prophethood by a prophet, it is called a mu'jiza. Okay? Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Sangh brothers and viewers, the Madin Channel, undoubtedly Allah Ta'ala, He has blessed the awliya-i kiram with many different powers. And some of them even had the ability to fly. They could easily get from one place to another place by flying even without any wings. They had these powers. They are some righteous servants of Allah who even had the ability to control the sea and the rivers. They even could fearlessly walk on the water. They were able to walk on the water that they could walk on land. It's mentioned here about Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, that when that there were Muslims, they were at a place and they had to cross the river Tigris. And at this time they didn't have any boats. So a river came in front of them and they didn't have any boats to cross the river. Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he commanded the Muslims to walk on top of the river. He himself, he led the way whilst reciting the dua, نَسْتَعِينُ بِاللَّهِ وَنَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ وَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. So he recited this dua and he led the way and he made all the people walk on the water with him. And it's mentioned here that people, they started walking on it without any hesitation while talking to each other. They were talking to each other and walking on top of the water. Horse riders, they were riding on their horses. Camel riders, they were riding on their camels. And those who were on foot, they were walking with all of their provisions, like you walk in an open field. This is one of the miracles of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. So what we're saying about this, we come to know that the righteous people of Allah Ta'ala, they can walk on water. And what was the first lesson that I taught everyone? By the power and permission given by Allah Ta'ala. They have the, because Allah Ta'ala gave them the power, Allah Ta'ala gave them the permission, so they are able to do all of these things. They are such dignified personalities that their du'as, they are not rejected. Sometimes what happens, there is not a single cloud in the sky. But these great individuals, when they raise their hand in the court of Allah Ta'ala, it starts to rain as well. It's mentioned that once, it completely stopped raining in Pakistan, in Sindh, a place in Pakistan, it completely stopped raining. To the extent that no signs of any food were seen from far and wide. Streams and wells, they all dried out, and getting access to water became extremely difficult. Then the people of that area, they gathered and presented their request into the court of Sayyidina Lal Shahbaz Qalandar Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Now, he, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, gave him the order. He said, you all should make sincere repentance for sins in the court of Allah Ta'ala and make dua for me. People, they instantly sought for forgiveness for their sins in the court of Allah and they started repenting. He, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, raised his hands in the court of Allah and made dua for rain and prosperity. And it's mentioned here that Sayyidina Shahbaz Qalandar Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he had not even entered his chamber and his dua was accepted by Allah Ta'ala and drops of mercy were showering upon the people. He didn't even go back into his chamber and the dua was accepted and it started raining. This is the power given to the awliya-i kiram, their duas are accepted. And I've mentioned, if you ever see a pious person in this world, get a dua from him. Don't be busy trying to get that selfie, get the dua from them. If you've got any problem in your life, if you've got any problem in the dunya, if you want to be successful in the afterlife, ask them for dua. They are the pious people of Allah. So try your best to get a dua from them as well. My dear Islam brothers, from this parable we learn that whenever we are struck with any sort of calamity, whenever we have any sort of problem, we should go to the pious people and ask for dua because their duas are accepted. We also learn that when we receive any mercy from Allah, we should express our happiness. We should be happy when Allah Ta'ala gives us a blessing. It's mentioned here, Sayyidina Lal Shahbaz Qalandar Rahmatullahi Alayhi, to thank Allah Ta'ala for that rain, he organized a mehfil of zikr and naat. He distributed food to thank Allah Ta'ala for this great mercy, for this great blessing. Everyone, everything the pious people of Allah Ta'ala do is in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. But, my dear Sangh brothers, unfortunately, this is not what we see today. Unfortunately, what do we see today? When Allah Ta'ala gives us a blessing, When Allah Ta'ala gives us a mercy in this world, instead of following the teachings of the pious people of Allah Ta'ala, what are we doing? You will see that a majority of people, they are disobeying Allah Ta'ala at the time of happiness. How many weddings are there that are free from music? You ask yourself. How many weddings are there that are free from free mixing? That are free from dancing? Wedding, on the day of nikah, people are doing the drums. On the day of nikah, they are thanking Allah Ta'ala because Allah Ta'ala has given them such a big blessing. And you ask them, someone for example has a kid. Someone has had a baby for such a long time. And then when he does get a baby, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with a child. This huge blessing, what is he going to do? He's going to book a massive hall. He's going to call all of his relatives. Mixed gathering, music, dancing. You ask him, what are you doing? He says, I'm thanking Allah Ta'ala for giving me this great blessing. You're thanking Allah Ta'ala by disobeying Allah Ta'ala. How does this make sense? So when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives you a blessing, we should be trying to do His worship. We should be trying our best to perform worship to please Allah Ta'ala more. The one on these occasions, it's even mentioned here, Sayyidina Ziyad bin Ubaid, Rahmatullahi Alayhi narrates, that on one of the rights of Allah Ta'ala upon the receiver of the blessing is that he should not perform disobedience using that blessing. This is the right of Allah, that the blessing that He has given you, you do not disobey Him with that blessing. Allah Ta'ala has given me and you eyes. Blessing of Allah? Yes, it is. We are disobeying Allah Ta'ala with these same eyes. Allah Ta'ala, He has given us ears, and we are disobeying Him with these ears. So we should be thinking to ourselves, all of those blessings He, Azza wa Jalla, has given to me and you, try your best not to use these same blessings in His disobedience. We should try always to be in His obedience. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, there are so many different ways that you can show your gratitude. You can be thankful for these blessings. For example, if someone has a child, he can hold a small mehfil in his house. Tilawat of Quran, Naat-e-Rasool, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He can have a little speech. He can do dua. He can do khatam. Do some Ihsan-e-Sawab. Inshallah, there will be blessing inside his home. If someone has a child, he can maybe make an intention that I will recite one Quran to thank Allah Ta'ala. If someone has a child, he can maybe say, you know what? I want to recite 1,000 durood for 1 month every day. It's a big blessing, isn't it? A child, a boy. A child is a very big blessing, so make a good intention, make a big intention. Some people, they, Alhamdulillah, I've seen, they have a child and they make the intention of going to Madani Kafla. They get a job, they make intention for Madani Kafla. They get married, they make an intention for Madani Kafla. Travel in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala gave me this big blessing. We should try to do this, Madrasa Sangh Brothers. Or you could do a sajda shukr. Do I do sajda shukr or not? Ask yourself. It's mentioned here that whenever our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would receive any happiness, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would perform the sajda of gratitude. Subhanallah. So make this habit of yours as well. So when you receive a blessing from Allah Ta'ala, we should do those things which please Him. Because when we are happy upon the blessings, and when we are thankful upon these blessings, and we are obeying Allah Ta'ala upon receiving these blessings, inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He will increase those blessings. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What is happening with this? Spending our life following the footsteps of the pious people is not only a means of a success in this world, not only a means of success in the hereafter, but it is a means of success at the time of our death as well, Madrasa Sahib Brothers. It's mentioned about Sayyidina Imam Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. I want everyone to listen very carefully. Imam Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullahi, a very famous Imam of the past. He was a Waliullah as well. And at the time of his death, Shaitan came to him. Shaitan, what he does, when someone is about to die, he will come to him. And he will try his utmost. He will try his best to snatch the iman away from that person. Why? Because he knows, after this moment, he has no chance to come back. If I take his iman now, he's going to die, and he's going to stay in the state of kufr for the rest of eternity. So he tries best, his utmost, at the time of someone's death. Imam Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, such a great imam, at the time of his death, Shaitan came to him. And then, what did he do? He said to him, that you spent your entire life in debates and discussions. Have you even recognized Allah Ta'ala? The great Imam, he said, without doubt, Allah Almighty is one. And what do you do? Shaitan, He says, have you got any proof? And the proof was given, but the shaitan, because he was the teacher of the angels, he refuted that proof. The proof the great imam gave of Allah being one, he refuted that proof. Then the great imam, he gave another proof, and shaitan, he refuted that proof as well. 360 proofs the great imam gave, but shaitan, he refuted all of them. Now, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi got worried. He got worried. 360 proofs I've given and they've been all refuted. Now while this was going on, this discussion was going on, this argument was going on, this debate was happening, the murshid, the sheikh of Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was in a very far place doing wudu. He was performing wudu in a very far place and he was looking at all of this from a far distance. This is the power given by Allah Ta'ala. He was looking at this argument between shaitan and his murid. So the Peer Sabi is sitting there and he's doing wudu and he's looking at the argument. Then he says in a loud voice, he says that why do you not say that I believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala without any proof? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. From this event we come to know that Allah Ta'ala, He has blessed His righteous servants with so much power that not only do they see from a very long distance, but they can also help from very far away as well. Just like Sayyidina Shaykh Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the Peer Sahib of Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, saved his disciple from shaitan at the time of his death. And we further come to know that becoming a disciple of a rightly deserving spiritual guide, a perfect murshid, is extremely beneficial to one's iman. If you really want to be firm on your iman, my dear sons and brothers, I will give you a mashura. I will give you this piece of advice. Put your hand in the hand of a perfect murshid, of a peer sahib, of a sheikh. Because these are the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala. They have spent their whole life studying Islam. They have spent their whole life worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. They are on the right path already. They are on the straight path. We need to get ourselves connected to these people. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, by their blessings, our iman will be saved. Sallu alayhi al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. And this day and age, alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Amir al-Sunnat, Mawlana Ilyas Attar Qadi, Ramat Barakatum al-Aliya, is a great example of a perfect murshid. You will see on Madani channel, Amir al-Sunnat, he does this. He allows us to enter into his silsila. Enter and be connected with the golden chain leading all the way up to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So try your best. On Saturdays, Madani Muzakara, a show that comes on, a program that comes on, approximately 6:30, 5:30 at this time. And Amir al-Sunnat does live bayat, where you can join this silsila. You can connect yourself onto that golden chain. So try your best to have this done as well, and then have a good chance of your iman being saved. Another beautiful event regarding Baba Fariduddin Ganje Shakar rahmatullahi alayhi, that once a person, he unlawfully claimed possession of their land. There was a bit of land that belonged to Baba Fariduddin Ganje Shakar, and someone, he unlawfully claimed this. He said, no, that's my land. It was their land, but he said, no, it's my land. It's not your land, it's my land. So this went to the governor and he asked that whose land is this? The governor, he was not satisfied with the answers of Baba Fariduddin Ganje Shakar rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, I need proof. He said, neither do I have any written proof nor any writing. If you want the truth, then ask the same piece of land. That land that we're fighting over, go and ask that piece of land whose it is. The governor heard this and he went to the piece of land and there's a huge crowd there. And he asked, O land, say who is your owner? The piece of land, it loudly proclaimed that I am under the ownership of Sayyidina Baba Fariduddin Ganje Shakar for a long time. Subhanallah. My dear son, but from this parable we come to know that even the earth is under the command of the chosen servants of Allah Ta'ala. The awliya ikram, they have been given the power, given the authority to control the elements of this earth. They can control the seas, they can control the wind, and even the earth, as we have just heard. So, my dear son, brothers, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, today, we have heard about the authorities and powers granted to the awliya-i kiram, the friends of Allah. We have heard some of the miracles. We have heard the definition of a wali. We have heard what a karamat is, what a miracle is. So much different pieces of information, alhamdulillah, we have learned. But what mindset do we get from all of this? The whole reason we listen to a speech is so that we can learn something, isn't it? There's no point of going there, listening, in one ear, out the other, subhanallah, let's go. There's no point of this. You might have got a reward, if you sat there with good intentions. Lekin the main aim and goal should be when you listen to a speech is that whatever I'm hearing, I want to remember this, I want to act upon it, and I want to spread it to others as well. So what do we learn from this? What can I take away from all of this information? I might have enjoyed listening to the karamat and the miracles of the awliya ikram. I might have learned what a wali is. I might have learned what a karamat is. I might have learned all these things, but what can I do now? What sort of change can I bring into my life? What lesson can I learn? This will be the main objective for every Muslim when listening to a speech. One thing, my dear son, brothers, we can learn after hearing all of this, after hearing about the pious people of Allah Ta'ala, it should be that I want to follow the footsteps of the pious people of Allah. I should be trying to become pious myself. Everyone here probably does dua, Ya Allah, make me pious. Everyone does it. Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala make all of us pious. But we all do the dua, but what are we actually doing? What practical step are we taking to become pious? We all do dua, Ya Allah, put blessing in my sustenance. And then we go to work in the morning. We do something, isn't it? To get that blessing, we go out there and we try to earn money. What are we doing to meet this goal of becoming pious? You should ask yourself and I should ask myself. Because this dua we should be trying to do. We have heard today that a waliullah, the definition, is the one who attains closeness to Allah Ta'ala by performing his faraiz. And this madani aim that Dawat Islami has given to us, that I must try to reform myself and then the people of the entire world. I must try to become pious myself. I need to become pious. This is a very big aim, my dear son, brothers. And we can probably spend our whole life on this one aim. We should all be striving for this aim that I must become pious. I need to become pious. Keep striving for this. And we have heard about the awliya kiram, they attain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala by what? By performing their faraiz. By performing those actions which are fard upon them. What is fard upon us? Salah. What is fard upon us? Fasting in the month of Ramadan. Zakat, Hajj. These are the actions, these are the acts of worship which are fard upon of all of us. Now, if we ask all ourselves, in order to make this happen, in order to become pious, what we need to do is, we should be trying to spend our whole life in worship. We should be spending our whole life fulfilling these faraiz. Now, first of namaz, you ask yourself, I will ask myself. Up to this day, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of my life has gone, ask yourself, do I know how to read my namaz properly? You ask your heart. Ask yourself, this much year has passed, do I know how to recite Quran properly? We should ask ourselves. I want to become pious, lekin I don't know how to recite Quran. It's not acceptable, is it? I want to become pious, but I don't know how to offer my namaz. I don't know how to offer salah. I want to become pious, but I got the means to go Hajj, but I don't think I'm ready for Hajj yet. I want to become pious, but I'm not calculating my zakat properly. This is not how it works, my dear son. If you want to become pious, you need to strive. You need to struggle. You need to worship. You need to go and fulfill your faraid. And we need to only do those actions which will gain us closeness to Allah Ta'ala and be serious about leaving those actions which will gain us the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. In our life, if there's anything I'm doing which is against the commands of Allah Ta'ala, I need to leave that. Because that one action is not allowing me to become pious. This is what we need to do, my dear son, brothers. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami is in front of all of us. This environment gives us all the opportunity to become pious and earn good deeds. Alhamdulillah, all of us, most of us, if not all of us, we have a habit of coming to the weekly gathering of Dawat Islami. Why? Because it's a good way of earning good deeds. I can go there, I can get that spiritual boost that once a week I get. I can repent for all of my sins. We have this habit of coming here. And it's very good. So we have that passion to learn Islamic knowledge. We have that passion to go and earn good deeds. But we should all have this passion, my dear son, brothers, to correct my worship as well. I want to become a pious servant of Allah. I want to be an obedient servant of Allah. I need to make sure that my namaz, the salah that I'm offering, this is correct. The Quran that I'm reciting, this is correct. And I heard, alhamdulillah, over here, this free Quran class is happening for adults, not for kids. The kids is happening separately, but the free ones are happening for the adults. You never learned the Quran when you were young. You learned the Quran, but you forgot. You never even looked at the Quran. Alhamdulillah, you can come to these sessions. It's a very big opportunity, my dear son, with this. Alhamdulillah. And we might have all have a good habit of coming to the weekly gathering of Dawat Islami, which is very good, my dear son, brothers. But try your best to take it to the next level. We might be coming to the weekly gathering for many years, but have we got the routine to travel in a 3-day Madani Kafla every month? If we don't, then we should make this habit madrasan with us. Madani Qafla is that one activity. By doing this one activity, you have a chance to earn huge, immense good deeds. You get the chance to offer all five daily salahs in the first row of the Jama'at. You get a chance to learn Islamic knowledge, learn about your religion, learn how to offer your namaz, learn Quran, the meaning of Quran. You get the opportunity to offer your nawafil and gain the reward of Hajj and Umrah every single day. You get the opportunity to stay in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Every breath that you take in the house of Allah, you will get 10 good deeds. In 3 days, imagine how many good deeds you can earn. So try your best to try to travel in Madani Qafla as well. 27 days is for you. 3 days is for who? For me? No. 3 days again is for you. 3 days is for your grave, for your afterlife, for your means of getting into paradise. You will learn so much in one day that you probably say that I never learned all this in my entire life. Even if you can give 1 hour madrasah, but just give 1 hour in Madani Qafla. Try your best. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the faizan of the awliya-i kiram. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the opportunity to truly follow the footsteps of the pious people of the past and make us all pious as well. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.